You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, no secret, been a ton of market volatility, really difficult to make money in these markets. But person you're about to hear from has got a better way of doing it. If you've traded options before, you know that the math is difficult, figuring out the premium that you're paying and whether you're getting a discount or not. All these things, this is what makes options the purview of professional traders. But now there is a way that you, as the individual investor, can get the same type of action, the same type of trades as the big boys with their endless rows of computers crunching away at the number. The name of the company is called optionsai.com. And right now we've got CC Lagator with us. CC, it's great to have you on. So I assume you've been working on this platform, your brokerage house, for quite a while. What was it that made you decide to do this?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Carrie. My background personally is I came from the market making side of this business. I was an options market maker and specialist, which means when people put in an options order into the market, it's not like equities. It's not like stock where, you know, I'm buying shares of Apple and somebody might be selling shares of Apple at the same time and we make a trade. In the options market, there are, you know, hundreds of strikes in some stocks for each expiration, multiple expirations every week and then out, you know, 2 years. And so in the options market, what you're generally doing when you place an order on a brokerage platform is on the other side of that trade is an options market maker. And that options market maker is, you know, adjusting their volatility and their other inputs on their pricing of their options and, you know, just trying to make a little bit of edge all day long. Now, the interesting perspective when you're on that side of the business is about 70% of the option order flow you see is from institutions. You know, it's from banks, it's from hedge funds, mutual funds, those types of things. And then about the other 30% is retail traders. And those are people, you know, on their E-Trade accounts and Robinhood accounts and things like that. And those two baskets of order flow look quite different when you're on the receiving end of them in as a market maker. And in fact, they have different terms. You know, institutional order flow is sometimes referred to as toxic, right? If you're a market maker, you have to be very careful. It might be somebody that knows something. They are generally trading in a way that is against large portfolios, you know, in the equities, and they're doing hedging, they're adding leverage, but they're generally approaching it with a plan, right? They're not buying a call to hope that they get lucky and it's a huge payday. They just don't do that because the probability of doing that over time is not great. The retail order flow, unfortunately, does look like those lottery tickets. And it's generally, you know, it's generally people saying, all right, I'm scanning an options chain and I'm looking for something that I can afford. And if the stock goes up 20%, I'm going to make a ton of money, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think everybody, the reflection that you have when you're looking at those two types of order flow as a market maker is, you know, like why is retail, why do they trade that way? And you have to start looking at the platforms themselves, right? And looking at the offerings of retail brokerage, which are essentially just taking the same professional tools, you know, that have been around for 35, 40 years. They look like, you know, an options chain looks like exactly what I used to see at work. And, you know, people, it changes the type of behavior that people participate in. And then you have this sort of intimidation factor of, well, if I buy a call for a dollar, I understand that. If the stock goes up, I might make money. If the stock does not, you know, I just lose that dollar. And so those are all very unfortunate things because that retail options order flow has very, you know, very bad outcomes over time because of those low probabilities. So when we were founding Options AI, we were looking at the entire space and saying, you know, how do we sort of blow this up as from a platform perspective? And what we arrived on was, if we concentrate on this with a very visual platform that takes the sort of, you know, the main components of options and really focuses on risk, reward, defined risk, and probability, and allows people to trade in very, you know, simply in multi-leg options trades, which is what that institutional order flow looks like, then, you know, that gives people an access to a toolkit for their arsenal that, you know, they can add income to their portfolio. They can, you know, hedge and protect a portfolio in times like this. They can add leverage when they want to, but in a defined, you know, smarter way. And so, you know, part of that visual platform is presenting these trades very much like an investor or an equity trader sees things, right? So it's trading from a chart. It's saying, you know, this is my profit zone. If the stock goes up into this green zone, you know, this is my risk and reward. Or if it goes down into this red zone, this is the most I can lose on this trade. And so we do not concentrate on things with unlimited risk. Everything is, you know, very defined risk focused. And then what it allows those users to do is sort of look at these trades a little differently. That YOLO trade, that lottery trade, is no longer that enticing when you see that, like, maybe I could, you know, sell a put spread in this stock. And if the stock goes higher, I collect this premium. And I don't even need the stock to go up 20% like a lottery ticket. I just need it not to go down, right? And so those are the types of shifts of mentality that we hope, you know, our product does. And from what we see, the, you know, at a place like Robinhood, about 99% of their orders are single leg options. So that means somebody just buying a call or buying a put. At Options AI, about 75, 80, 85% of our order flow is multi-leg options, which means someone buying a call spread or somebody selling a put spread or even selling an iron condor or income. And, you know, almost 50%, like over somewhere around 40% is people doing credit spreads. And those are those types of income trades and things that you can do in options, and you can make, you know, you can theoretically make money with a market going sideways.
How much risk are we looking at here, really?
Well, the other thing we point to is that we're talking in, you know, on our platform, we're talking in dollars and cents. So I'll just give you an example. If, you know, you had a Apple position and you're, you know, thinking that with this current market, for instance, like, it's going to be tough to, you know, maybe the days of Apple going up 25% a year are over, and you're looking to sort of add edge and, you know, potentially, you know, beat the market. And on an Apple, like, let's say you owned $30,000 of Apple stock, you could be looking at things like to add income, like an iron condor or a credit call spread against your Apple stock. And you could be thinking about it in terms of, I could take on $600 of risk, and that's quote unquote risk because it's against your stock, but that's the most I can lose on this. But really the only way that would happen is if Apple went higher, right? In which case I would be making money on my Apple. If Apple went lower, I would collect that $500, right? And so that $600 becomes just potentially lost opportunity cost of something good happening, which is your Apple going higher. But if Apple goes sideways or lower, you have that potential to collect that $500. And so we think about it more in, you know, I think traditionally in options, people are like, oh, if I own 100 shares of stock, I can buy one put to hedge that, or I can sell one call to do a covered call, to have potential income, and I'm willing to be called away in that stock. We look at it, you know, differently on our platform, and we say, think about it in dollar terms. You have $30,000 in this stock. How much are you willing to, you know, use to hedge to be able to sleep at night? Or how much income would you like to, you know, add if this stock goes sideways? And so we think about it more there. And so the risk is literally what you see on the screen. It's the, you know, it's the $500 or the $600, or, you know, obviously those numbers can be higher, but there's no uncertainty. It's not, you know, selling a put or selling a call into the market and having no idea what your risk is.
Okay. So yeah, obviously if you're selling a put, and that stock goes up, you could be on the hook for a lot, huh?
Yeah. So it could go through your put and basically it's like owning the stock, right? And selling the call, you know, just naked is the term in the market. Your risk is literally infinite, right? So you can imagine somebody selling a call in GameStop or AMC back in those days, you know, watching a stock go from 20 to 500. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that blows up hedge funds.
All right. So Cece, help us out in the current volatility. Give us some examples of profitable trades that the AI was able to come up with that others maybe wouldn't have.
Well, so one of the things we have on the platform, for instance, is, you know, the last 2 weeks were really brutal in the market, right? Yeah. And, you know, I think it was the markets were down, what, 11% basically in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, towards the end of last week, if somebody was starting to get at least temporarily bullish, you know, you're going into the market, you're seeing those, you know, parts of the market, there's so much uncertainty, everything, you know, volatility is pumped. You'll hear that term, like on, if you're watching TV and they talk about the VIX and things like that. What that means is options prices are really expensive. Premiums are really expensive. And it's the uncertainty of what's going to happen in the market. When a situation like that, you know, we have a scanner, for instance, this is just one part of the product, where let's say you had your eye on five tech stocks that you were like, I'm just waiting for a moment to buy this. You know, these, they're all down 35% over the last couple of months or something like that. You could say, you know, I want to sell a credit put spread in one or more of these stocks. And on the options AI scanner, you can say, you know, I want to see credit put spreads in Apple, Amazon, Tesla, Netflix, whatever it is. And I want them at about a 70% probability of profit. And you just, you know, enter in those, you know, inputs on a pretty really easy to use platform. And it spits out, you know, those five trades. And you can say, all right, you know, this Apple one looks really good. This Amazon one looks really good. You know, and it's basically defined risk. It could be I'm risking 600 to make 400 if the market doesn't keep cratering, right?
Right.
And what you're able to do in that case is with all of that volatility, if you just went in and said, you know, I'm buying Apple today, the stock, you know, obviously you're taking on a lot of risk of Apple going down another 15%, you know, if that market sell-off had continued last week. And then if you're going into the options market and you're saying, I want to buy a call in Apple, you need Apple to go up so high compared to what that's priced at right now. Whereas this gives you that optionality of, you know, I just want to sell to the bears, basically. I think this sell-off is at least for the moment, you know, a little overdone, right?
Okay.
And you're basically selling puts, and in this way, selling a put spread to people that are panicking, right, at that moment. And that's always a good thing to do in the options market is, you know, you can use options to be defining risk to buying low and selling high, and you can be multi-directionally investing and trading.
Gotcha. So, so what was the best trade you saw over the past couple of weeks? What was your best trade over the past month or two?
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually bought Bitcoin this weekend on Saturday, but Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I'm not like a huge fan of those, but occasionally you see those markets get really overdone. But as far as like strategies for, you know, this current market, you know, I'm mentioning those things like selling put spreads and things like that. The other thing that you can do in the options market is you know, and this goes back to that previous point about, you know, options premiums being very expensive because of, you know, the way the market's moving day to day. There are ways you can sort of, you know, if you take, let's say the SPY, right, for the S&P 500, and you saw it just get hammered the last 2 weeks, and you wanted to take a shot on a bounce or something like that, you can just go in and do like a call spread that is like $1 apart. So for instance, buying the, you know, I forget what SPY is trading, but let's say it's like 390, 391 call spread. And you could be saying, you know, I want to pay $20 for this with the potential to make $80 if the SPY does a 5% bounce in the next couple of days. Those kinds of trades are really interesting because what you've done is you've taken away all of that or a majority of that pumped up options premium. And you're basically saying, you know, I'm willing to lose $20 on this if I'm right, if I'm wrong, but I can make up to $80 if that trade, you know, if the market bounces. Mm-hmm. And I would consider that, I would put that in the category of small ball, right? In this type of market, you do not want to be swinging for the fences. You know, you want to be going for those, you know, those little, like, but in that case, it's low, you know, it's, you're risking a little bit of money to potentially make a lot of money. And the market is giving you that opportunity, but you're doing it in a way that's like very defined risk. And it's, you know, as opposed to stepping in and trying to be a hero.
Okay. So in that case with the spread, yeah, if it goes up or it goes down.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canada-focused exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable high-grade gold assets with major drill campaigns planned across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Fury is led by a management team of proven explorers and developers with a track record of success in advancing and financing project development. Fury Gold Mines is well positioned to create value for investors with low-risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under the ticker FURY. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com. That's furygoldmines.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
So if it goes down, basically, you know, you lose that $20. If the market bounces, it doesn't matter how, you know, as long as it goes through those strikes, if it goes through those levels, it doesn't matter how high it goes through, you're capped. You've made that $80 to your $20. And those types of trades are, you know, it's basically one of the advantages of multi-leg options trading is you can set up stuff like that where you've alleviated some of this insanity and you've just basically placed like a, you know, like a small bet on, you know, something, taking advantage of the fact that the market can bounce 5% in no time. You know, and then on the flip side, those same types of trades, you know, if you're staring at a long portfolio and you're having trouble sleeping at night, you know, things like put spreads, which is, I saw a headline today and it was basically, you know, if a recession comes, it was one of the big banks, right? So JP Morgan or Goldman or something. And they were basically saying if a recession actually comes, they could see the market down another 15, 20%. First of all, my first reaction was, I thought we were already pricing in a recession, right? But it's yeah, like, they're probably right. You know, like when that official time comes, the market is not going to be, at least leading into those moments, you know, you would start to see the cracks in the economic data, which we're already starting to see. But in that case, it's like, all right, well, I'm starting to get, you know, I've just survived a 30% sell-off in the market, hopefully. And then JP Morgan or whoever it was is telling me that if, you know, the recession comes with a 50% probability that we're already in recession or we're close to one, the market's down another 15, 20%. Well, it's like, well, I can hedge against that. I don't need to panic, right? I don't need to dump it, my entire portfolio, because, you know, it's going to come back someday, right? And so what you can do in options,
if we all live long enough, yeah.
If you could, I mean, it might take a while, who knows, but you know, long enough time horizon, et cetera, et cetera. But what you can do is you can basically sleep at night. You know, let's say you've got, you know, you're highly concentrated within your job or your wife's job or something, and you own a bunch of, you know, stock in a, you know, in a tech company or a pharmaceutical company or something like that. You know, you can do these little trades and you'd be saying, listen, I'm willing to give up 3-4% of potential gains here, which is nothing, right? Like if the market, if in a market that was just down 30%, in order to like basically cover that next 15 or 25% down in the market, and then I can sleep at night and I don't need to stare there, you know, watching TV all day to see what the market dials up, up or down 500 points. So that kind of thing is like, you know, going back to using all the tools at your disposal. You know, one of them is being able to sleep at night. So you don't make, as humans, we're really bad under pressure at decision making, right? And options allow that kind of, you know, I want to protect this portfolio. I want to be able to sleep at night. I've got my eye on my favorite stock. And if it goes down another 20%, I'll be thrilled. But you can't do that if you're out of bullets, right?
Exactly. And you have no money. So,
yeah.
So what about if, what's the advantage to just doing a single trade, doing a spread? Exactly. I mean, I understand it, but many of you out there don't. So just elaborate on that a little bit.
So you say, yeah. And so it basically comes down to probability, right? So the way options work is every option has a break even, right? And so I'll just give a quick example using real numbers. If a stock's trading $100 and I buy a 100 call and it costs me $5, I need the stock above 105 before I make money, right? And what ends up happening in the market is retail traders tend to price in their ideal situation or their ideal scenario. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at that options chain and they're like, wouldn't it be cool if this stock went up to 120? And so they're out buying a 115 call, a 120 call, and they're saying, you know, wouldn't this be cool? An institutional trader is saying the options market really is only pricing this, the potential for this stock to go to 110 over the next 2 months. So I'm going to play within that 100 to 110 range. And so what they would do, is they would buy the 100 call and then sell the 110 call in the same expiration, let's say out a month and a half or 2 months. And instead of that 100 call needing the stock to now be above 105, that call spread might only be $2.50 or $3, right? Mm-hmm. And so now I've set up in a way where if the stock goes higher, I just need it to get above 103, not 105.
Right.
And the only thing I've given up is that once it's above 110, I've capped my gains. Mm-hmm. So in that weird scenario where it did go to 120, I'm basically, I've taken my max profit. And so that's the definition of what's called like a debit spread. Now, a credit spread would be taking that same situation, that $100 stock, and saying, you know, I'm just not bearish in this stock. You know, I think it's oversold or for whatever your thinking is, and saying, you know what, I'm actually going to sell the 100 put and then buy the 90 put to define my risk. And I'm going to sell that at $3. And basically, as long as the stock doesn't go below 97, you know, by that expiration, I can collect that $3. So if that stock went up to 105 or 110 or 120, I collect $3. Even if it stays at 100, I collect that $3. And so that's what's known as a credit spread. And in the case, you know, to your original question, in both of those cases, that break even establishes a probability. So that one, that buying the call has a probability that's less than 50%. Let's say it's 35-40% probability. That call spread of buying a call and then simultaneously selling a higher call will have like a 10% more probability of profit. And then that credit spread has a greater than 50% chance, right? So a stock not going lower has a higher than 50% chance, right? The same, it would be the same if you were betting against it going higher, right? Because it has a probability of being exactly where it is or the other direction. And so that the scenario I gave of the credit put spread would might have something like a 60% probability of profit or a 65% probability of profit. And those are the types of things where if you're looking to be, you know, serious about this and not just buying lottery tickets, it's like you've got to start thinking about probability. And that's where these multi-leg spreads come in. You know, you're increasing the probability of betting on something happening. And then in the case of betting against something happening with a credit spread, then you are doing more than 50% probability. And then there's also the ability to position against nothing happening. There's trades called Iron Condors, which is a really cool name for something that is basically selling a put spread and selling a call spread at the same time. And that sounds complicated, but what you're doing, and you can see this on the Options AI platform, is what you're doing is you're just establishing a range. And you can see it as this big green zone on either side of the stock. And you're basically saying, if the stock goes in this range and stays in this range, then I collect the premium from those two, you know, parts of this iron condor.
Gotcha. Really fascinating. I can only imagine how hard it was to program this platform and how much money you guys put in there. I mean, tell us what the cost was of setting this up.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's in the millions. And part of that is, well, there's a number of things. One is, you know, the tech, right? And then the other is actually being, you know, setting up a brokerage, which is quite expensive. There's a lot of barriers to entry to that.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so luckily, one of my co-founders, he comes from the institutional brokerage side. I came from the market making side. And then the third founder is, you know, comes from the tech world. We raised money. We went out and raised. So we sort of built the original version of the platform and got it out there. And then we went out and raised money. And our investors are, you know, we have multiple investors, but our three main investors come from the institutional side of this business. They know this business really well. And when we, you know, we found great success going into people that knew the industry and knew what was wrong with the industry on the retail side of things. And it's in their best interest. You know, there's tons of conspiracy theories about what's going on at the market making level and all. And there's, you know, listen, I'm not saying they're angels, but it's not in their best interest to have every retail investor go broke, right? Like, you know, these institutions need retail trading. And so when you find the right types of investors like we did, they're on the side of retail traders. They want, you know, these people active and making money, and then everybody wins. So that's kind of, you know, there's other issues with the industry, but people rooting against retail is not one of them. So.
All right. I'm not going to go there.
Right. We could get into a whole nother conversation on.
I lived in New York, where I lived in Westchester County, surrounded by stockbrokers, traders, investment bankers, hedge fund managers, and other ne'er-do-wells.
Yes.
So I'm sure we could exchange a lot of stories on that topic.
Exactly.
Hey, do you see this as a disruptive technology for the options sector if it gets widely adopted?
Yeah, and so that's our intention is, you know, part of this is out changing the conversation, right? And so we need to, one of the things we've discussed a lot is, you know, people are coming from traditional brokerage platforms, you know, whether it be E-Trade or something like that. And we are presenting to them an entirely new way to look at this market. And our ideal users are basically people that are investors that are maybe, you know, semi-active investor to trader to a very active trader, right? And maybe not so much like a day trader, but somebody that like makes a, you know, they're the type of person looking to beat the market, right? Or why else would you have an online brokerage account unless you were trying to beat the market?
Good question.
Right? And,
Good question. Yeah.
I mean, you know, or it could be a hobby. But the point is that there's two types of things that we want to avoid, and we don't want to see people gambling away like real money, right? Like significant portions of their portfolio on lottery tickets and wild bets. And then the other thing we want to do is, you know, we want to be that brokerage where I have, you know, I have money in this market. Everybody that's interested in these sorts of things has money in the market. And it's like, how do I add income? How do I occasionally add leverage? And how do I add protection? And those things should be easier for a retail audience. And unfortunately, they're not. So that's where we're positioned is like, you know, you should be using these tools and you shouldn't be using them to gamble. You should be using these to try to grow your wealth up over time.
So true. I mean, I see this as hugely disruptive because I deal with a lot of people. I have a better than average knowledge of options, futures, And I wouldn't say I'm the genius at spreads by any stretch, but I get the concept. But so many of you out there have like not a clue. And it's difficult, really difficult for the average investor because, you know, you live this stuff, CeCe. I live it to a lesser extent. And, you know, it's second nature to you. But for your average investor, we might as well be talking Greek here,
right?
Or Aramaic, because they're clueless. Mm-hmm. And so something that gives the average person an edge up, you know, this is what AI does. Takes
and like, and to your point about like Aramaic and you know, like some dead language, like a lot of this is not by accident, right? Like that esoteric like language around this industry and talking about, you know, literally Greeks, it's called the Greeks in, you know, out like all of the deltas and gammas and vegas and things like that. It's almost as if it's intentional to keep it esoteric, so only, you know, certain people really truly know how it is. And the way I think of the options market is I did it professionally. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of nuance that unless you do it professionally every day and day to day, I mean, I can sort of price options in my sleep, but that comes from doing a million options trades. But here's the thing, that nuance is about 5% of options trading. And unfortunately what it does is it clouds the other 95% that's really straightforward, which is risk, reward, and probability. It's straight math. And if you can understand a point spread on a football game, or if you can understand how they do odds for horses before the race, the only difference is in those options, it's the same exact math, it's the same exact probabilities, except it's as if you could buy and sell and do it the entire horse race right up until their finish, right? Yeah. So you have a 50 to 1 long shot in the Kentucky Derby, and then he looks like he could actually win halfway. You can just take that off at like 10 to 1, you know, with a quarter length left or whatever, you know, like that kind of thing. And it's the same, like I bet at a 7 point spread in this football game. The team I bet on is up in the third quarter. I want to just take that off for a profit. I don't want to have to sit around and like be nervous about it going to overtime or something. And that's all options trading really is. And if you can understand that math, which most people can, that's the majority of it. And then that other 5% is like just really esoteric nuance that nobody needs to understand to actually do smarter trades.
Yeah, well, it's clear that your average individual investor who delves into the options arena has to lose because they never, ever think about probability.
Right.
And probability, you know, it's the same thing. Average person wouldn't walk into a casino,
right,
sit down at a table if they really understood that the probability of them losing is in the 90%+.
Right.
So the probability is everything for these trades, right?
Exactly. And that it is capable to have, you know, unlike a casino in Vegas, where I think the craps table, if you played perfectly,
yes,
maybe you have like a 48.5% probability, right? So right. The longer you're at that craps table doing the best craps playing in the world at the best odds in the casino, you are still going to lose, right? Mm-hmm. And the options market and investing in general is, you know, provides opportunity to be over 50%. And that's really, really different. And the only way that, you know, you can screw up a lot of things, but the only way you can screw that up is to constantly be doing things with a 10% likelihood of happening because you have that dream of getting rich off of that one trade. And that's, you know, that goes across all investing and trading, right?
Yeah.
How many people has Michael Lewis written a book about? Like 10 people? Mm-hmm. So those 10 people all got lucky on one bet, right?
Yeah.
But most people, like most successful investors and successful traders, it's just a lot of small ball every day over time, right?
Yeah. Yep. Gotcha. All right, CeCe, just give us the name of the site again. And
It's optionsai.com. And people can follow me at LearnOptions on Twitter. I'm also on like Reddit and those sorts of things. And but optionsai.com, they can check it out. And we have some free tools, you know, things like an earnings calendar, which shows, you know, how much of a move options are pricing for things like an upcoming earnings, you know, really kind of cool tools that people can like kind of dip their toe into the whole, you know, environment.
All right. Excellent. Hey, well, just go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. You'll find the link to optionsai.com. And while you're at it, sign up for a free newsletter. If you got a question for CC, we'd love to get you an answer. Just shoot me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. CC, been very enlightening, informative, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.